Welcome back to the Discovering Forestry podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Corey Lofi, alongside the one, the only, Arbor Joe Aiken. Joe, how are you?
Yeah, they only made one of them. Yeah.
He broke the mold. All the time.
Broke the mold. I'm good, Corey. You know, I'm actually, when you asked about what we should talk about tonight on the podcast, I'm thinking to myself, let's do something different. Let's kind of on some of our other things, you know, you do with trees. And since I've already had a couple, let's talk about tonight. Shows you how good I'm doing. Let's talk about alcohol and trees, the relationship between spirits and wood. You know, because if you think about it, I know that we've spoken in the past on previous podcasts that maybe doing a live recorded broadcast in a brewery or a distiller to talk, or a cooper shop where they're making barrels, and why one or the other. I thought that'd be kind of fun tonight. Let's just break it up a little bit. Let's talk about spirits and where trees come into play. How's that sound?
I think that's awesome. I don't know if my microphone will pick this up, but it's about time that I cracked another one.
I didn't
one.
Hear it. I didn't hear it. You might have to crack another one.
The technology can, it muffles out a lot of the background noises now with these newer microphones and some of the stuff we're playing with. But Joe, I think that's a great idea.
Yeah. Let me try something. Did you hear that?
No. See?
Yeah, a little doop. Well, that's the cork coming out of the whiskey bottle.
Cork is so part of a tree. There we go.
Cork. That's a great start. So a cork is from a tree, the cork tree.
Let's start with that. Yeah.
Why not? What part of the tree is the cork coming from?
The bark.
The bark. It puts out a big, thick bark. And through the years, they got a little punch and they punch out corks. I'm sure it's probably different now. And I think the spirit that I pulled the cork on the bottle, I don't think they're really, it's not the high end, and it's actually a plastic cork. So it's not even traditionally a real wooden cork. But I was amazed, and this should get us started. So many of you guys are aware of Pabst Blue Ribbon beer. It's been around in the Midwest for a long, long time. Some of you may not know that Pabst Blue Ribbon came out with a whiskey. And as we talk about oak and why one oak over a different oak, I just wanted you to know that there is no note oak in Pabst Blue Ribbon. It's aged for 5 seconds before they put it in a bottle. There's no wood involved in making Pabst Blue Ribbon whiskey. So I just wanted to get that out there because we can only get better from here.
Well, it's got to go up. And if my memory serves me, and I actually went down the rabbit hole on, you know, wine production, aging in barrels, cork, and corks for a lot of the alcohol that we're consuming, the bottle tops come from, I believe, like cork oak trees out of the Mediterranean, like Spain, Greece, Italy, somewhere over there.
Really?
Yeah. And I forget what the rotation is. You could probably look it up as we're going along here, but they can actually do it somewhat sustainably. So, you know, sometimes those trees have to grow, I think, 20, 30 years before the bark is thick enough to where they can actually do this. But then they just rotate. They literally rotate through the field, through that production on a 25
tree,
year.
How many bark, or how they spiral up and let the tree respond?
Yeah.
That's actually pretty amazing that is part of a tree. And like you said, it's probably a cork oak, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
But when you talk about spirits, wine, whiskey, it's always about oak.
Right.
And just recently, I had ticketed down over the Memorial Day holiday. I was up at my family property. And a huge, the property had a nickname, Three Oaks. And there's three enormous oaks that probably old growth, big gnarly oaks. Well, one finally went down by an area we call Old Camp. And it was a red oak. Now, there's not there's no oak wilt there. It was more of a included bark. Looks like two smaller ones grew together, pushed it apart. A couple years ago, the south side went down. And this year, the north side went down. So I was cutting it up, and I thought to myself, all right, I want to distill. And I says, well, why don't they ever talk about using red oak? So I had to figure out why. So the reason that they use white oak over red oak is white oak does not rot or have any fungus pathogens in it. And it's a cleaner wood. So red oak is susceptible to rot or decay. So that's why they go white oak. And I was like, really?
Now,
okay, I got it now.
Now I geeked out with the Cooper. So Coopers make barrels that you can age wine in. But I geeked out when we were living in Virginia with a Cooper. Oh, maybe Thomas Jefferson's vineyard or Dave Matthews vineyard, one of those over there. Anyhow, they were, you know, I was in college still learning, experimenting, and I learned about white oak. And the reason they gave to me was a lot of white oak has good long grains in it, but it also has a lot of tyloses that'll swell, and it won't let any water or anything come in or out of it. So that, you know, tackles the whole disease aspect of it that you were just mentioning. But if you think about it, like, yeah, white, everybody says white oak or English white oak or French white oak barrels. And it's like, huh, think about it.
Well, they've been doing this for a long time, Corey, and they probably figured it out. Yeah. So white oak, regardless of the region, I think American white oak, I believe, is the highest prized used around. Now, you talked about oak. Not only is, you know, we're talking about, you know, like I said, you knew a Cooper building barrels. There's a company that just make barrels. There's a couple in Michigan that I've looked up, because if I start distilling, I want to be able to have a Michigan barrel to put it in. Mm. They kind of age it according to the recipe.
Will they char it for you too?
You can pick up. There's like five different levels of char.
No kidding.
So they have 32-gallon barrels and 55-gallon. And I'm thinking, man, I don't need to be putting away 55 gallons of whiskey every year. But I can and know that there's a local Cooper's shop that will build barrels here in Michigan. So that's pretty awesome. But one thing I was talking, I was just up in Ithaca, New York, working with none other than our director of research, Joe DeCola, on a Saving Iconic Tree program for Cornell University in their arboretum. And we had an opportunity to see the region. Now, Cornell, Ithaca is right there by the Finger Lakes in New York. In the valleys in the Finger Lakes, we were around Lake Seneca, is wine country. So we started with Joe and I, we finished kind of a little bit early around dinner time, and we decided to go take a drive around Lake Seneca and maybe hit a couple wineries. Well, it's the off season, so it was very hard because most of them were closed.
Oh, sure.
I found out that not all wines are oaked. So not every wine goes in an oak barrel. So I had an opportunity to try oaked. And if you go to a winery or a wine shop and you start looking, you'll see oak or unoaked. I was amazed at the flavor oak gives wine compared to not oaked.
Interesting.
And I found out that I'm a tree guy, I'm a tree nerd, I prefer oaked wine. So it was interesting to see. I didn't know that. I thought they all had to go into oak barrels, and but no, some of them, they'll go right into a cardboard box. And that'll, yeah.
Or stainless steel, kind of age it and that, move it on. So that's a good question, is why do we even age it in barrels? So you talk about flavor, and I'm not a real big bourbon or whiskey fella, but I think color is also affected, obviously, by how long and what you age it in, right?
Well, there's still evaporation through a barrel. You know, there's a bourbon called Angels.
Angel, there you go. Yeah.
And it comes down to there's still evaporation. The wood grain swells and contracts with temperature. And a lot of the tannins and the charring add flavor and mellow the distillate out. Because when you put it in there, it's a straight distillate. Yeah. Obviously, they will reduce it to get the proof they want, but then they put it in there. And I know that bourbon has to be, well, distilled with a minimum of 51% corn, but it has to be barrel aged for minimum two years to be bourbon. So there's requirements to have a name, and which is pretty cool. So, but the tannins, a lot of the phenols and all that stuff is because that alcoholic, that distillate will actually dissolve that, and it gets into the pores and back out, and the charcoal charring is almost like a filter. And there is an evaporation, there's a loss. And I think after 18 to 20 years, you could have half a barrel left in there.
Whoa.
But that's when the good stuff comes out. That's when if you can wait that long and not get too excited, that's when you really start to get the finer product out. Just by coming into contact. Now there's another bourbon that they put in the belly of a ship. Is it Jefferson's Ocean? Something. And the theory is that they put it in the cargo hold of a ship and it sloshes around for years.
Oh, sure.
Neat thing. Another oak barrel slosh around, comes into more contact.
Sure.
Well,
I'm sorry, go on.
It's amazing. No, it's just amazing what they're doing to get more flavor out of this.
Weren't you telling me, or maybe it was somebody else on the team, that they have a Metallica bourbon that they played? Was that you?
I got it right here. Metallica started their own line of bourbon called Blackened. Now, I got the bottle right here. I can grab it. But what they did is every barrel goes into the studio with them, and they rock on. It's the vibration that they're saying vibrates the barrel to where there's a different flavor, because of the crank up the amps. Like I just watched Back to the Future, where the beginning of the movie, he turns the amp all the way up and it blows them over.
Oh, yeah.
So they actually take the bourbon barrels in the studio with them in black and just jam out. And the songs that they played with that barrel in the studio is on the bottle.
I can't. That's pretty cool. I guess it's marketing.
I don't know. I haven't drank it yet because I thought it was a gift. And I'm thinking, man, I don't know if I want to drink that just yet.
Well, no, I think that is marketing. But you know that at this point in my life, I enjoy a little bit more tequila. And for the listeners, and obviously we're talking booze and beers tonight, but there are three major kinds of tequila. Blanco, which is just white, so basically they distill it, bottle it up. Then there's reposado, which means it's aged for 2 weeks, couple months, maybe a year or two. And then there's añejo, which is aged longer. And when you hold up, whether it's Patron or whatever your favorite brand is, and you hold up, you can see that color change, but then you taste it. Oh my goodness.
Are they aged in barrels also?
Yeah.
See, I'm not a big tequila guy. Mm. I'm in the Midwest, Kentucky, bourbon's right down the street. Bourbon, big Irish whiskey guy. Now, Irish whiskey's the same way. It's oak barrels, triple distilled with Irish, so it's really pure going in. I was not aware of that.
And they use oak barrels for tequila, for the reposado and añejos.
So we had, I had an opportunity when we're talking about wood. I was privileged by my brother-in-law to show me I wouldn't call it a gimmick, but a new design product on the market that is a spiral cut charred oak plug that looks like a spiral cork. 3 inches long, it'll fit into the bottle. So he's seen it online. He's like, oh my God, I'm gonna try these. So it takes 2 weeks. So you take your favorite spirit and you put one of these in there, and it absorbs some of the impurities and gives a little flavor from the charred oak. And then after 2 weeks, it changes the flavor profile. So I'm like, yeah. What can happen in 2 weeks? So I took an empty Jameson bottle, a clear one, a black barrel. Took the label off so I could see the color change. Took a picture before and after. And I believe it or not, it changed it almost 2 color differences.
Whoa.
And we took Jameson, which I like, and made it smooth as molasses in 2 weeks with this little plug.
Get out.
I swear. So I'm like, all right. So you can get them on Amazon. So I bought some more tequila. So we had a big gallon bottle of it on the, in the whiskey locker up in the man cave. I poured a liter into a clear bottle and dropped one of those in there. Cause you say you can do tequila. Corey was amazing.
I bet.
It was the neatest thing. So not only there's traditional way they do it, but there's distillers that are really trying unique ways to use it and preserve more trees than having to create a barrel old fashioned way. So it was pretty neat. I'll have to send you one. I wish I had the name of it. So I could, the listeners could check it out, but I was, you know, for $4, it was worth a shot. And I was impressed that that little oak plug, that wooden piece in a bottle, made that big of a difference.
I bet. I'm trying to think. So I know I've had liquors before, spirits before, that were smoked. You know, you go into a nice cocktail lounge or something like that, and they can actually, they'll fill up. It looks like something out of Beauty and the Beast, right? Where they have that rose inside. Anyhow, you can actually smoke a couple of these different drinks, you know, containing gin, amaretto, mezcal, things like that. So there's another way that I guess I never really thought of until we're talking here, but trees are used in smoking beverages, craft cocktails that they're putting out.
I got that too.
So what?
Laura, use a little like a food torch.
Of course you do. That's it.
And you use your rocks glass, you fill it up and you put this thing on there. And I got this for Christmas. I had 4 different types of chips: apple, cherry, pecan, and oak. And you take a pinch full of the fibers, you put it in a little screen mesh, you take your little torch and it blows the smoke through the little holes on the bottom and fills your glass with smoke. I can't tell the difference but man, does it smell cool?
Of course it looks cool. You have it's that.
All presentation.
Of course you had that. Here I thought I was being fancy and Joe's, I got that.
I got that. Laura got it for me. So again, and then we went and got, so we were up north that day. I took that big tree down. Mm. I ran. We can't run out of wood chips for my smoker for the bourbon. So like, come on, boys. So we jumped in the side-by-side, drove through the woods all the way back to where that tree was. And we scooped up about 9:30 at night in the dark with flashlights, red oak chips. So like, all right. But you know what? We used them and I got a big cup of them now. And it does make a smell and taste a little different.
Really?
Yeah. So it's interesting where trees and this goes back. It goes back way back when they found out how to char barrels was an accident. There was a fire in Bourbon County, Kentucky. I can't remember the distiller's name. His barrels got burnt, and he says, I got to make a delivery anyways. And he put them in there, and they had a paddle boat go up the Mississippi or wherever they had to go, Ohio River, to make a delivery. And the word bourbon comes from Bourbon County, Kentucky. So they had the county name on the barrel. So that's where the word bourbon come from, that region, that county in Kentucky. So they got there, and again, rocking on the boat, and they opened up in these burnt barrels because someone had a fire, and they loved it. And that's how the tradition of charring a barrel came to play and where the term bourbon comes from.
That's pretty cool. When we were... Oh, it must have been 2 years ago. We got to go to the Jack Daniel's distillery down in Tennessee.
Lynchburg, Tennessee.
Lynchburg, Tennessee. And
a country song about that, buddy. You got to know that.
No, I know. It's the Polish sodas I'm drinking tonight that are making me a little off. But they were talking about using wood in another way, also to filter, but they actually run all of their whiskey through charcoal. They have this like these giant like silos, and they basically just slow drip all of the Jack Daniels is slow drip through charcoal to kind of filter it out. So there's another
Really?
place in the process where trees are being used. Pretty cool.
That's pretty amazing. And I was well, you and I went down to a tree care event in Asheville, North Carolina,
That's right.
a few years ago. And there was a big package store right by the hotel. We went up there, and I always try to grab something that's local because I want to, if I'm going to travel and check it bag and drink it home, I'm going to bring something that I've never had before.
Yeah.
So I'll give a plug out to him, but there was a distiller down there in Fletcher, North Carolina, which is like a suburb of Asheville, that created a bourbon called Two Trees Bourbon. So right off the bat, because I'm a tree dork, got to get that. Well, they
Yeah.
had bourbon, then they had a flavored whiskey. The flavored whiskey was like candy. It was too sweet for me. But man, on ice on a hot day, it was,
That's right. That'd be good over vanilla ice cream. Can you imagine?
Who did we try that with? I think it was
Lindsay.
our buddy Lindsay Purcell was with
Yeah,
us.
yeah.
So we're sipping on that. Well, I got the Two Trees Bourbon home. And what makes it interesting is that they found a way to barrel age bourbon in 24 hours. So what they do is they take cubes of white oak, and it's almost like they char the cubes, and they press it, force it through the wood charred blocks
Whoa.
over a period of 24 hours. It comes out the other side, colored, flavored, just like it's been in a barrel for 2 years, and it tastes amazing. And they use about only 10% of what it takes to make a barrel.
Wow.
So not only have they found a way to preserve trees, but they found a way to duplicate time, almost like a time machine.
That's pretty
And
cool.
they produced this through an oak block. And I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. So if anybody could ever find that, it's Two Trees, Fletcher, North Carolina. It's worth a look through, look for, because as a tree dork, we're always, you and I practice tree preservation. Tree comes down, tree comes down. But, and I know there's forests that were planted for exactly that purpose. But let's do our due diligence. Let's try to save as many trees as we can. And if you can find a way to do it, I thought that was pretty amazing.
Yeah, not by stopping drinking, but by changing who you're buying your beverage from.
And we're not condoning.
Not, yeah. Yeah.
But I
Well, and
drink
you know,
responsibly,
well,
and
here's another thing. So drink responsibly, but drink sustainably, which is what you're really talking about. And you'll see a lot of, there's a microbrewery in Denver that I helped out when I was living a little closer to the city. It's called Alpine Dog. And they make a rum barrel aged, I don't know what, porter, call it. And they also make a tequila barrel aged beer as well.
really?
And they bring, oh yeah. Cause you could find rum and tequila barrel, well, not really tequila, but maybe mezcal barrels all over the States, and certainly whiskey barrels. I mean, everybody can think of a good beer they've had that was aged in a barrel. It just really recycled, and it makes you feel good about it.
Yeah, recycling the barrels. And most people end up in their basement, and you can smell whiskey all the time because they get a barrel for their basement.
That's true.
As How many times can you, I don't know, I don't know the answer, but how many times can you run spirits through a barrel before the tannins and the phenols and all that stuff are leached out of the wood?
I think it depends. I think every distiller has their limit. Jack Daniels, I think they only use it once. Jim Beam,
And
they
then it
might use
goes to the bourbons, and it goes
it.
to a lot of other
Exactly.
people.
Exactly. So they just kick it right on. And if you ever want to try to buy one of those barrels, you can. couple hundred bucks, probably, maybe more. And I know that in wine country in Napa and that part of California, you can buy some of those barrels, but they're not cheap.
They're not cheap.
No.
So I found online, it's called Barrel Aged in a Bottle. Oak Infusion Spiral. They're kind of cheap, but if someone wants to play around with it, I would go for it. I think it's worth it. It's worth a look-see for me. I thought it was cool. I'll play with them for some more.
Yeah, no, I'm all about this. Joe, this is kind of a fun topic, one that we as tree people are always thinking in that direction. Yeah, there's a beer I had the other day. It was made from birch bark beer, but it was actually the sap from a birch tree. And then they have a spruce tip ale on tap right now.
Do you know that Ben Franklin in the Revolutionary War was famous for a spruce tip beer?
I did not know that.
Yeah, because I'm a fan of the TV show Moonshiners.
Oh yeah.
And there's one special segment where they tried to recreate famous spirits in America. And Ben Franklin's did that. So a couple of the people on the show went around the country to find everything in the location, and they tried to recreate it. They had to recreate the still or the table and everything to make it period. And they tried to recreate stuff. Like they made Al Capone's bathtub gin on one episode. And now gin, we didn't talk about gin yet, but gin is primarily made from juniper berries.
Oh, sure.
So that's where you get that pine sol taste, where a lot of people weren't big gin fans. But now gin, like the botanist, talk about nerds.
Oh, yeah.
There's a botanist gin out there that is absolutely incredible, infused with all kinds of botanicals after it's distilled. And it's just the creative minds that are making some of these specialized spirits is actually pretty amazing.
Well, and there's a market for it too. I think a lot of people, it used to be, you're drinking Bud, Miller, Coors, that's what it was, or one of four different kinds of whiskeys. But I think now these craft distillers, these craft microbreweries, really they're artists with what they're doing. It's amazing.
I went, when we were in New York, we went to dinner and then we had a nightcap in a little craft bourbon bar. And they had to have over 200 different bourbons and whiskeys on the wall.
What?
It was a dream for me. Yeah. And I wanted it because I was down there and I don't get down. It's the first time I've been there and I wanted to find something different. I was looking around, looked at a few bottles. They were very, very cordial of bringing them. Let me read them. And I found one that was local to the region, put it on one of those big craft ice cube balls. And it was awesome.
Nice.
So we talked about, vodka.
We need to wrap things up here pretty soon, Joe, but I think I need to go freshen my glass up here, but we need to have this conversation again. And to any of the listeners who are out there, shoot Joe or myself a message, find us on LinkedIn or Facebook or something. Just let us know what are we missing here? Where have you seen trees being used in cocktails, craft cocktails, alcohol? And if you ever find Joe or I at a conference, trade show, we'll be at TCI and ISA coming up. Let us know.
We're both going to be there.
Yeah, let's have a cocktail together, huh?
Yeah, but it's got to have tree in the word.
Yes, or in the making.
In the making. I like that. I think that is a task for our listeners to come up with something creative.
Or bring us your favorite bottle.
Yeah, and we'll and if you make your own, let us know. We'll bring it out, we'll sample it, and we'll talk about it on the podcast.
I think so too. All right, Joe. Well, I'm gonna go find another pint. I hope you have a great rest of your day, and yeah, we'll connect with you pretty soon.
All right, sounds good, Corey.
See ya.
Bye.
Hey, great topic today.
Yes, and lots of good information.
Yeah, probably one of our best yet.
If you enjoyed the podcast, or have topics you would like to discuss, please send them to discoveringforestry@gmail.com. And please hit the subscribe button and tell a friend.
Thanks, guys, for tuning in. Until next time, I'm Joe.
And I'm Corey.
Signing out.